You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line. This is Overdrive.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
It's Mail It In Friday with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I started my Mail It In Friday
early
on a tough note.
What did you do?
I took 7 pairs of my dress pants to get altered and lengthened by 1¼ inches.
Yeah.
I brought them home and tried them on.
Didn't go well?
They were shortened by 1¼ inches. I had capri pants
on. So did you go back and scissor kick the door down? And
no,
because this isn't
I didn't
$12 pair of Levi's. Like, this
she tried to argue with me that I said I wanted them shortened. I said, why would I do that?
Yeah,
so can you add thread? Like, can they find a way to get the pants back?
They can.
What happens?
I don't I'm not a—
they're gonna fix it. Well, and for free.
They can take this, whatever, the seam.
Should I be expected to charge, like, be charged again?
No, there's no way. I mean, if you pay, I would expect free, period. I wouldn't pay anything.
I had an incident.
I wouldn't pay a cent for that, especially with the argument coming backwards.
Yeah, it should never.
You can't argue that the guy told you to shrink the pants.
Yeah. Like, all I got to do is put the pants on and show the lady. Wrong.
I did that once in Calgary. I dropped off, like, 7 shirts. Nice shirts, like Hugo Boss dress shirts. I'm on the way to the game. Imagine this. I go to the game. On the way, I had dropped off 7 shirts. I'm like, oh, I'll pick up my dry cleaning. I go to pick it up, and I can tell that they're smaller. Like, visually, I'm like, that's not going to fit me. And the guy's like, no. I said, I asked you to dry clean, not launder. So what did I do? I took my shirt off in the dry cleaners and tried to put the shirt on. And you know what he said? Maybe you put weight on.
That's bold. I'll give him credit for that.
But the sleeves were halfway up my arm, and I went bananas.
It's Seinfeld.
A guy came in, and I said, don't get your stuff done here. This guy's a crook. And it did not go well.
All right, Mullen. You can't mail it in until you get this clip. Find that Seinfeld clip where Jerry's talking to the dry cleaner. And he's like, just admit it. You shrunk them.
Yeah. Like,
he's like, no, I didn't shrink it. Just admit it.
I wanted
you
him to
you shrunk the
say,
shirts.
But
that's all you have to do. Just admit it.
Retribution. What are you going to get? There's probably $1,000 worth of shirts that he shrunk. What was I going to do?
How many people leave shirts at a dry cleaner? Like, that's happened to me before. Like, 2 weeks after the fact, it, like, dawned on me. I'm like, oh, dude, I dropped off, like, 4 shirts.
But
and I went back and I got them. But, like, what's the statute of limitations on them holding your shirt? At what point does it get to a certain date where they say, forget this guy, we're taking the shirt?
Well, somebody's wearing your shirt?
Free shirts. I mean, there's got to be a lot of shirts and suits and stuff that get left there by guys that, you know, move and forget or whatever.
I was furious. I told the guy, I said, you know what, I'll get my $1,000 out of you somehow if I have to put a brick through your front window.
Well, what did you do? You were playing for the Calgary Flames.
Well, at that point, there wasn't camera phones or anything, but I was furious.
Yeah, that would not go over well with anybody.
7 shirts that he shrunk.
I guess you're putting your faith in the dry cleaner. What are you going to do?
Yeah, but how do you screw that up? Lengthen it by 1¼ inches, and I put them on. I've got extended shorts on.
Yeah, see, yours is different because they, like...
That's a lost in translation. She made a mistake there.
Right.
This
with you, he just threw it in the laundry or whatever,
yeah.
Threw it in the dryer, and it shrunk on you. This was, like, a lot of labor that went into that. It was just
the wrong labor.
And the labor ended up costing
you. I think that labor is reversible. I think you could, yours can be fixed, I believe.
Oh, it's going to be fixed.
All right, well, we'll see. Double shot for the Maple Leafs this weekend. Mike Babcock was on Leafs Lunch today, and he was speaking with the media earlier at shoot-around, or at practice, I guess. And Mitch Marner, get my sports mixed up. Marner wasn't on the ice, which no one was surprised by
no.
that. He wasn't going to practice today. There was no way. But Babcock had an interesting comment about how he approaches the situation. Like, he said he's day-to-day, but he's not ruling him out for tomorrow night.
Right.
And he was asked to describe, you know, how he feels about the situation, and this is what he had to say.
We're going to see tomorrow. You know, obviously, if I'm in charge, he's in. If the doctors are in charge, they'll decide tomorrow.
What do you make of that clip? If I'm in charge, he's in.
Basically, he knows the injury.
And he thinks he can play?
Like a fight through
pain.
Well,
it was also the fact, like, if I could put Mitch Marner in my lineup, I'm doing it no matter what.
That's what I think it was. Right. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it's...
And
remember early in the year...
The underlying is, I hope you guys all can tell that I just worked out.
Yeah, he... was.
Listen
he
to
on
it
a...
again.
We're going to see tomorrow. You know, obviously, if I'm in charge, he's in. If the doctors are in charge, they'll decide tomorrow.
Is he on the bike?
He always goes on the bike right before any press conference.
He's
or
in good
scrum.
Shape. He's in very good shape.
You give him credit.
I give him full marks.
Yeah, he's got the suits going. He's looking good behind the bench. He works out. Full credit to him. I could use the same routine.
Did you get it?
I didn't do
today?
A thing today again, man. Not even close.
What the hell's happening to you?
I don't know. I'm like rebelling against.
Yeah, you're.
You told me last week I need a motivating factor, and this is it. And then it's just completely.
I think it would be better for me if it was like 2 weeks down the road
instead of 3 months.
See, I'm a classic procrastinator, man. Yes. I'm the king of writing the essay the night before, right? Studying on, putting in an all night shift, right. Studying for the exam the next morning. I'm not a guy who plans. Well, in advance. I'm just not. I'm not someone who is going to be able to put forth some sort of schedule that I'm going to follow. So it's too far down the road.
Right.
Might as well be in 2025. Forget May 14th. I'm not taking it seriously enough. It's going to catch up to me.
You better knuckle down here.
It's going to catch up to me. I know
it will. And you know you're going to have a big weekend, too.
I got a couple big weekends coming up.
And you're going to say Monday. I'll get it to Monday.
One more destructive weekend, then I'm back at it.
Zaw, chicken fingers.
Hold on, buddy. Two games for the Maple Leafs. But, yeah, I'm willing to accept, and I think what Babcock was saying is, hey, I want him in the lineup. Like, obviously. If we're up to me, he's playing, clearly. I don't think – Babcock's talked about this earlier in the year. Remember, he had a bit of a hiccup when he talked about Nylander's injury.
Right.
And I can't remember exactly what he said. But it sounded as if he was insinuating, I thought he should have played through it, but he didn't play through it. And then he came back the next day and said, well, the doctors are the ones that decide. And that's going to be the case with Marner. The doctors are going to make this decision, not Mike Babcock. That's the way it works in the pros.
The one positive thing I see out of this, he didn't come out today and say, there's no chance he's playing for a while. So obviously he's confident enough that day-to-day is really day-to-day. And it could be hour-to-hour, depending on how he responds to treatment.
Listen, he's their leading scorer. He's one of their most important players.
Mm-hmm.
He's a spark plug on the ice. Whenever he's on the ice, they seem to have the puck and they seem to be moving and shaking.
Him and Auston Matthews, they make it happen offensively.
Mm-hmm. And this is a
very
big weekend
simple.
Because every team massive around the Leafs weekend. Seem to be winning games.
Yeah, it is.
Last night, Buffalo wins again. Ottawa wins. The Islanders beat the Rangers last night.
The Islanders, that's the one that kind of made me a bit nervous because they're starting to feel their mojo.
But the Leafs beat them 7-1 a few days ago.
I know,
I don't think they're that impressive of a team.
It was a one-off, though. I mean, the Leafs lost. I'm not suggesting that the Islanders are better than Toronto, so just back off the Twitter. I know people picked up their phone to tweet me right away. I'm just saying the Islanders are playing very well right now. The game against the Leafs the other night was horrible. The Leafs dominated them. But they're playing very good hockey.
No doubt.
What I'm saying.
No question
that's
about
all
that.
I'm
not saying that they shouldn't be taken seriously.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what I find, the mentality of Leaf fans, and because of the recent history of this team, it's understandable. You look outside of the market for the team that you think will clearly get it done or will find a way to be better than the Maple Leafs.
Yes.
Because historically speaking, that's exactly what's happened. The other teams have always blown past the Leafs. But when you look at the Islanders, when you look at Florida, who's they're heating up too. Florida's a good team. Boston, maybe Buffalo.
It's so goofy how they're all winning at the same time.
It's weird.
It's when everybody's ultimately like playing each other.
But there's so many more games left to go. Who's to say there won't be more? I think there will be more ups and downs.
There is going to be ups and downs right till the last game. We're going to be having this conversation the last week of the season when they play a ton of hockey. Don't they finish the season with 6 games in 9 nights?
They play a lot of games. They finish with a back to back.
There's a yes guy, no guy involved here. Do you think what Jerry's done here, everybody kind of in it, are you a yes guy on it or a no guy? I'm almost a yes guy. It's exciting to watch.
I think you're a yes guy if you follow mediocre teams. Mm-hmm. If you have an elite, like the thing is, what Jerry's done here with the regular season is he has made it possible for almost every team to be in the hunt the whole way.
He's made it possible right. for your fan base to keep interest till the end.
Until the end of the regular season. But no one is delusional enough to think that any of these mediocre teams are competing for a Stanley Cup. So that's where, you know, the parity line applies to the regular season, right? Like the Islanders, good example. They're getting hot. They're not beating Washington or Pittsburgh. It's not happening.
But there will be one Cinderella story.
There will
be. We see it every year.
But how far do they really go? How far does the Cinderella really go?
They go far enough to knock a really good team out. That's
exactly.
the problem.
Which is a great story.
One. Yeah.
And that's a fun story. And believe me, if it happened in Toronto, I'd sign off on it in a heartbeat.
I went to the finals as a Cinderella.
And I'll give you credit.
But guess what happened?
You got smoked when you got there.
The good teams, you're right. It rises to the top. But that's the beauty of sports. So I think if you're a Toronto fan and you think that it can be a Cinderella run, you should be welcoming the matchup.
Well,
because there's
a
chance that they play, what, Ottawa, Florida, one of these teams in the first round that they believe that they can match up well against.
I think it'd be close to a coin flip. Whatever that second versus third spot in the Atlantic will be, that's going to be a coin flip series, you would think, based on the way it currently sets up. Now, maybe injuries pop up. Maybe one team is extremely hot going in or extremely cold going in. But if it's Ottawa, Boston, Ottawa, Toronto, Boston, Florida, whoever it is, I think we're probably going to circle that series and say, I could see that going seven and I'm not sure who's going to win.
Yeah.
Right? Where that's more than likely not going to be the case when Washington plays Philly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see that being the case. I mean, who knows? Hockey is different than a lot of different sports. You can see Cinderella teams. You can see the first round supplying you with some upsets. But Mitch Marner, you're right, Noodles. The fact that it wasn't definitive, like with Riley, we knew pretty quickly.
Right.
He's not playing anytime soon. He's not out long term.
Right.
But Babcock came out day before that first game and said, he's not playing, so it's over. Don't even think about it.
Right.
The fact that it's still open for debate to see how Marner plays,
you could see him,
is a positive sign.
If he doesn't play Saturday, you're thinking maybe Sunday for sure type of thing. That's what I got out of that conversation.
I think the goaltending situation will be interesting this weekend because McElhinney's coming off his first
subpar
start. Mm-hmm. You've got 2 games this weekend that are important games. You're seeing these other teams around you win games. I mean, I think I guess what will be intriguing for me over the next 2 months is when does Babcock start to really kind of shorten the bench or put his foot down on the gas pedal and say, okay, now we're into crunch time. Like 26 games, that's still a lot of season left.
Probably after the deadline.
I don't think he ever really does that. I think he's like, this is the way I do it. And
I'm going to go all the way through all 82?
Don't you?
Generally speaking.
When does he ever shorten the bench? Unless it's like.
Be a good history to go back and see what he did in Detroit when they barely made it in the playoffs a couple of years back.
Right.
Be interesting to see who he ran. Because I think there was a little bit of a controversy. Peter Mrazek overtook Howard and Nett. That's not going to happen here. Anderson, to your point, Brian, it's more about, how much is Anderson going to run?
How much is he going to play? You still got, I think, 4 more back-to-backs.
Right, you do.
And
he can handle them. It's just the work in between, too, that you're playing Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday. I think Tuesday, what? Tuesday, Thursday.
They play essentially every second night.
Yeah. These are some big games, too.
They're massive games because, again, like we said, all these teams around them are winning. And Ottawa, you know, tomorrow night feels like it won't be your last opportunity to catch them, but if they'll at least lose tomorrow night, they go 5 back and Ottawa's got a game in hand. Like, tomorrow's a massive game if you still have your sights set on that second spot in the division. You got to rack up points. So we'll tee up the weekend throughout the afternoon. Future headlines coming up at 6:30. Jose Bautista showed up to camp today. Very composed, somewhat quiet.
I saw him wave to the media.
No real hot takes or anything like that. Just kind of
humbled.
Yeah, I think so, right? Now, he said he's still got a chip on his shoulder. He's got things that will motivate him. That's been his whole career. That's who Jose Bautista is. I expect him to.
You can't perform like that guy if you don't have a chip on your shoulder, but he's just a little bit humbled.
Well, Steve Phillips is down there. He'll join us around 5:35. We'll get his take on that. Sidney Crosby making history last night. The 12th fastest player in NHL history to hit 1,000 points.
And it was so Sidney Crosby the way he did it. It was an extra effort play, got the puck, and then made a finesse play.
Yeah.
And then it goes to overtime, and what does he do? Just bears down
on
Mark Scheifele in front of the net and just grit grinds it into the net. Has there been a harder working best player in the game other than Sidney Crosby?
That's what I said last night. I said and I tried to say it with all due respect, he is the highest skilled grinder I've ever seen.
Yeah. Think about the best players in the game. Like Gordie Howe when he was the best player, maybe.
But Gretzky wasn't a
Gretz
guy
and
who
Lemieux and
outworked you, but he
Lindros,
outskilled you.
Lindros might have been the grittiest of grinders.
Yeah, but even Lindros, he had a time there, 2 or 3 years, where he was the best, but not like 10 years. Like Sid's put himself into the conversation for top 7 or 8 players of all time.
Of all time.
Right. Like he's up in that category now. Where
some dope sent me a note. I had to block him on Twitter because he said that you're way off. Malkin's the superior player. That's what he said.
Guy's high, flat out high.
And I like
I will
Gino
say this,
Malkin.
Though, it was a joke that he wasn't on the top 100 list. There's not 100 better players.
That was ridiculous.
I agree.
That's a joke.
Absolutely
but
ridiculous.
Gino Malkin is not better than Sidney Crosby.
No, he's not. But, you know, Sid, because of his style.
In certain things, he's better.
Yeah, you could maybe argue, is he talented in different way? More talented in different ways? Sure he is. But because of the way you just described Crosby, I think it makes it more difficult for him to be considered at this current moment as like a top 4 or 5 player, right? Because we think of Gretzky and the numbers. We think of Orr and how graceful he was. We think of Lemieux and what his talent level was like.
Right.
And Gordie Howe, not many people kicking around anymore that actually saw him play in his prime, but has been built up into such a legend. It's almost like how do you reach that type of a mountaintop? And because he hasn't had like these incredible blow your doors off type numbers or seasons where he's lapped the field. He's just been consistent. Like, I think he's 5th all time in points per game. So all he does is do the same thing every single game, every single year. But he doesn't have like a 200 point season because of the era he plays in. He doesn't have 65 goal seasons like Ovechkin and others. So I think it makes it more difficult to make the case for Sid to be a top 5 player currently in the moment because of that. But I think over time, he's going to benefit greatly
when
you look
back on
his career.
Well, over time, if he was completely healthy his whole career, he might be talking about it a little bit differently, too.
You're right. And another thing, Ovechkin has Backstrom passing them the puck. Gretzky had Curry that he'd pass it to. Like, Sidney's played with good players.
Yeah, Kunitz, Sheary.
Kunitz, Dupuis.
Pascal Dupuis.
Like, he has been the engine. He hasn't played with Malkin a ton. And the guy quoted me saying, what are you talking about? He's played with Chris Letang. That's a defenseman. He's not on the wing.
Well, Gretzky played with Coffey, and
but all the other top players, it was always a little bit of a tandem.
Generally speaking, it was. And you mentioned his injury past and the concussions. That has to be noted in the resume. I mean, again, if he who knows where he would be at points wise right now if he played all those games, he'd be well over 1,200 points.
Exactly.
But I don't consider him the most injury-riddled superstar ever. Like, I think you got to put Bobby Orr number one, or had to retire at like 27 because of knee problems. Like, he wasn't the same player the final 2 or 3 years of his career. Can you imagine if he played 18 years in the league, what he would look like, his numbers? So Orr will always be the guy who got cut short for me. And I'd still put Lemieux ahead of Crosby in terms of when I think of injury problems. And
we should get your buddy the Quizmaster in here to discuss this type of stuff.
Who he would consider, who did we miss out on the most based on injuries?
Well, you know he would say Bobby
He'd Orr. Say Bobby Orr. That's an obvious answer, I think. Because that's another thing when people were tweeting about it last night, and it really puts Orr's greatness into perspective. Crosby, 5th all-time in points per game. Orr was 4th.
Yeah.
Like, a defenseman averaged more points per game than Crosby.
He skated like Connor McDavid in an era where people didn't skate very well, technically.
And he played a position where they were just expected to
Stay there. Stay home.
Stay on the blue
and
line.
Just blow by people.
Dude, he had the Art Ross. He won the Art Ross. You imagine a defenseman leading the league in points.
Brent Burns is still sniffing around.
You're right.
Here's my question about Brent Burns this year. Why is he getting so much talk about a possible Hart nomination in the year Erik Karlsson led the league?
He had 82 points last year. Erik Karlsson did.
And nobody, it was just like, nah, just a good offensive player.
We were talking about the exact same conversation last night. Like, Karlsson had a year last year offensively where you're like, this is gross. And, you know, it was Doughty's year, and I understand that, and I'm a Drew Doughty fan.
But why was it Doughty's year?
Because he's a great player, too.
I know,
and,
but...
And the thing is the this is where the lost in translation. What is the definition of a defenseman? Because there should be an or trophy, and then there should be a guy who's a great defender. Because you can't have both. I still believe that there's guys who are riverboat gamblers and couldn't check their code in their own zone. And then and I can name a few guys that would fall into that category.
And the opposite way, who couldn't make a 10-foot pass, but
they can defend from the red line back.
Right. Well, I hear you, but it's kind of like the age-old debate over what valuable means.
Right.
Most valuable to what? To your team, to your line mates? Do the playoffs have to factor in? All these awards are always arbitrary. And whoever's got the votes, essentially, they determine their own rules, right? On how they're going to vote any given year. But Crosby's unbelievable. We got a poll question up on Twitter, at Overdrive 1050. Considering what Sid did last night and the conversation we just had, which current player has the best shot at being considered the greatest of all time in the respective sport? Today's Overdrive poll question is brought to you by Colt Hockey. Reinvent your game with the stick that'll last three times longer than your regular composite. Colt Hockey, designed by hockey players for hockey players. Visit ColtHockey.com. The options are Crosby, LeBron, Mike Trout, Tom Brady.
It's Tommy Brady.
I don't know, LeBron.
That's the thing. I've already said I think Brady's the greatest football player of all time.
Okay,
so I have to say Brady. But I think LeBron's real close.
Too bad Tiger couldn't make that list. He was close for a while,
If we had a fifth option, we'd slide Tiger in.
Well, now you don't even want to invite him to your member guest. Seriously.
I know, man.
Imagine him as a plus four, shooting 80.
Imagine buying mulligans for Tiger. Like, before you go out, you're like, we're going to need a lot of mulligans. This guy can't even stand.
I feel bad. That's awful. That's awful that we're
going for your contacts and you're trying to pick your member guest buddy and you bypass Tiger Woods? No, I'm going to go with Larry, who's a scratch.
Who's really hungover, yeah, but he can play.
And he'll show up the lights out when he's hung.
And he'll show up in a pair of jean shorts nail it out
and
of the park.
Dial it in.
We won't take one of his drives, but this guy can hit a 45-foot triple snake putt when the championship is on the line like you've never seen. Speaking of that, DC, this is why I love Twitter and social media. I guess today is the 21st anniversary of when Happy Gilmore stormed back on the back nine, the tour championship, to beat Shooter McGavin.
Really?
I don't know how people know that, but maybe the movie came out 21 years ago back in 96. And
it's awesome.
Happy. Storming back on the back nine.
Chubbs.
To steal the gold jacket from Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin.
Still an all-time
stupid.
He hates
movie
old people
back,
and children.
God, did I watch that 100 times.
I've seen it. It's got to be a top five viewed movie by me.
Yeah.
Right?
Didn't he say, I eat pieces of crap like you for breakfast?
That's Shooter. You want to go over what you think your top five would be?
Shawshank, Happy Gilmore, Dumb and Dumber.
Seven?
Slapshot.
How about Seven?
No.
Seven's on a lot. I've seen it a couple times. But once you know the way it ends, like when you see the head in the
box,
over.
There you go. If you haven't seen Seven.
Hey, man, we've talked about this. It came out like 25 years ago. That's your problem, not mine.
All right. Shawshank falls in there. How about Good Will Hunting? That's mine.
Yeah.
See, but I'm thinking more like Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Goodfellas on a lot.
Casino.
Heat.
Heat's too. Never have anything in your life you can't leave in 30 seconds.
Heat is too long.
That fight scene lasted like 20 minutes.
That's right before Val Kilmer went over the cliff.
Yes.
Where he went pony.
Where he went pony and put a few LBs on. Yeah,
he got bloated quickly after heat.
Yeah.
There's a meme out there where it's just like, this son of a bitch used to be Batman.
It's probably my favorite picture online.
Pull it up and during the break so we can have our laugh at that one.
Yeah, Val Kilmer, I used to be Batman. Anyway, Tom Brady running away with his current poll, 67%. LeBron at 22%. Sid at 9%. Mike Trout only at 2%. Mike Trout is sneaky because we live in a sabermetric world now, and his like wins above replacement are off the charts for a guy who's only been in the league for like 5 years. Give him another 10 great years, Mike Trout, I'm telling you, will be pushing the greats of all time. It's a sneaky, sneaky vote.
You threw that in
even though I didn't vote for him. Ray's coming up. Steve Phillips coming up. Joel Quinville will be on the show today.
Love the stash.
Coming off a bye week, and we're going to get him to answer if coaches actually really love the bye week when they're on the bye week.
Right.
It's one thing to complain about it when you're leading up to it and you miss out on practices and you got back-to-backs. I'll bet you Joel enjoyed himself for a bye week.
Guaranteed he's well aware of the record coming out of the bye week.
He just went somewhere hot where there's a horse track.
Horse track, cigars.
Yeah.
And dark scotch. Liquor. Yeah. And had himself a great 4 or 5 days.
For sure.
So Coach Q coming up. Future headlines in about 2 hours. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Rick Reiner later in the hour should point out breaking news out of the UFC. GSP is returning to the octagon. It's been a couple of years.
Jerk, but he did that yesterday.
The report came out.
It was trending yesterday.
And then it became official today. So you're right. The report was out yesterday that it's going to happen today. I guess the T's got crossed and the I's got dotted. They figured out what kind of cash.
Cash. It's all about cash.
I wonder what he's got left and how much buzz it'll create. Like the diehard fans.
3 years away from...
He's been away for a long time. It's tough to return.
But the way he fights, again, talking to a few buddies that I know who are in the MMA, in that world,
mm-hmm.
The way he fights, it's very defensive. So
he's a lot like
really
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, he's very...
And they're not exciting fights, really.
No, he's one of the more boring
fighters.
He's
a grappler.
Yeah, he's not going to throw down with you or anything like
right.
that.
Right, he's not Tank Abbott that used to, when that
Who
first
Who was the
started,
legendary grappler?
Royce Gracie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Gracie family, like they're all famous. Because once they started joining the UFC, because remember when
they were destroying people.
They were destroying people because the UFC was literally guys like Tank Abbott, out of the street. We're like, let's just punch.
It was bar fights.
And
that's
Gracie,
what it was.
Yeah, Gracie would get a guy on the ground and break his arm. It's like, you're done.
Yeah, within like five seconds, he'd have the camel clutch on him. And
yeah,
the arm bars.
Like, they had to change. My understanding is, like, eventually they became more legit. Like, it was really gritty. Like, they were in small towns in, like, Oklahoma because they couldn't get licensed anywhere.
Well, Tank Abbott was the guy on top for a while, and he was like a bouncer.
He was a street fighter. Dan Severn.
And that's why you're right. Like, what's his name? Mohawk. Chuck Liddell. Those guys ended up going down because they didn't have, like, the ground game compared to the new regime.
Well, GSP is back, so we'll see when he gets into the octagon and who he's going to fight. You know spring training is officially upon us because old man Goose Gossage is popping off again.
Really? What's he got to say?
He's just yelling at the clouds again. Like, this guy cannot help himself. He is so bitter about, like, the modern-day baseball player. I guess he was speaking to some scribe in New York because he's affiliated with the Yankees. Like, he's down there at spring training, like, in a Yankee uniform out there helping out. I don't know what exactly his role is, but he was asked about Mariano Rivera, who many consider to be the greatest closer of all time and one of the all-time great Yankees.
Right.
And Goose Gossage, who's a great Yankee, great player himself, now working with the Yankees, I guess said, like, he's offended when people compare him to Rivera because Rivera was only good for one inning, where Gossage would rack up multiple innings in a relief role.
So it rattles him when he's put in that company?
I guess. He hates the fact that these new-age...
Goose, like...
Yeah, I mean, give it up, dude. Like, you've gotten to a point, you're like Milton from Office Space. Like, go hang out in Storage Room B.
He does have a mustache on him. Like, he is an old school guy.
Very much so.
He's the one who gets after the analytics crowd, says the baseball's run by a computer. And
hates sabermetrics, hates how soft pitchers are today, hates everything.
We talked about it last year when we first got involved with this character. Can't he just do it amongst friends with a couple beers at the pub or in somebody's basement?
He can't help himself.
Like, we all carve different elements of sports and whatever, but we do it with... It's private talk. Like, you don't need to come public with it. Have hot takes. It's crazy.
He loves talking to the media. And I'll give him credit, though. He will do the rounds. You know, I'm sure if we call them up, he'd probably come on right now.
No.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, man. He was on TSN Radio last year when all this kind of stuff went down. So, anyway. Steve Phillips in about an hour, live from Dunedin. Ray just after 5. Did you see Ray had the same suit on last night, the same shirt, same tie as John Hines?
Yeah, and they had – Chris Cuthbert had a lot of fun with it.
The same suit?
They had the same – it was the blue suit with the blue checkered tie and a solid blue tie. Blue checkered shirt, solid blue tie. It was hilarious.
The Devils were loving it.
They did a double screen, and Ray was rattled.
Yeah, we'll beak him about that in about half an hour.
It was awesome.
Grit Grinder later in the hour. All right, Grit Grinder later in the hour. All-Star Weekend in the NBA. You see Gilbert Arenas post on, I think it was Instagram. Because the NBA All-Star Weekend has a reputation. There's some fun going on. There's some women popping around. I guess there's a lot of groupie action like at the NBA All-Star Weekend. Like, I guess when they were in Vegas about a decade ago, apparently no one had ever seen this before. Like, that, like Vegas was like, you got to leave.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Like, enough.
Yeah, like, we can't
you
do
guys
this
are
anymore.
Tearing it up.
You can't come back.
Yeah.
And I guess Arenas wrote this big piece saying, any women 34 or older, you've had your time. Stop showing up at NBA All-Star Weekend.
So they put out a date. Like
I guess so.
An expiration date.
He said, if you're 34 or north, you're no longer welcome at the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Really?
And he doesn't even play anymore, so I don't know where he comes into play on all this. But he said, yep, leave it for the younger females.
Steph's got another year.
That's right. So Steph wants to get down to New Orleans. New Orleans is on my bucket list. I've never been there. I heard it's a great town.
I heard it's unbelievable, but I heard one wrong turn, and you can find yourself in a dumpster.
I was there for a couple nights. We ended up at an establishment a couple blocks off the main pathway. I was a little scared. It was late, and we were out of our element, put it that way.
Well, you can apply that to almost any city in the United States.
Yeah,
let's
happened
be honest.
To be in Nashville once too. Like, you just end up not taking a wrong turn. Saying, yeah, you jump in and say, oh, we're going to this next place, and it's a little farther off the beaten track than you think, and it can go south quickly.
Well, that's a big part of stadiums and new stadiums being built all over the states. Like, Yankee Stadium is a perfect example. Maybe the shrine of American sports, and it's in the South Bronx.
It's in a gritty area.
You cannot stick around. Like, it's the polar opposite. You go to Wrigleyville, you're there hours before the game. You're there hours after the game.
Right.
It's awesome. You go to Yankee Stadium, you are in and you are out.
You're there for a purpose, and that's it.
You're there to see the game and get the hell out of Dodge. Because I was there probably 5 or 6 years ago. And it was new Yankee Stadium, but it's right across the parking lot from the old one.
Right.
And after the game, we wanted to take pictures, so we're kind of walking around the stadium, right? We're taking pics, and we're going down closer to the field.
Right, right.
And we got out of there probably 25 minutes after the game.
Yeah.
No one was around.
Yeah, it's
nobody. Like, we got on that subway as quickly as you could get and just said, Manhattan, please, like, get me out of here.
Gritty.
You can't hang around the South Bronx. No way.
Now, where was it yesterday? We brought up this character getting jumped, and now it turns out he's the guy who was causing issues.
Yeah, Darrell Revis. Now it looks like he was going to be arrested with like 4 or 5 different counts of terrorism and like weird stuff.
Uttering terrorist threats and smashed a guy's phone and knocked a couple guys out,
And this sounds like classic, we got to get out before the story comes out. and try to spin it, right?
Right.
And the lawyer, his lawyer came out yesterday and said, we had to bring him to a hospital because he was jumped by five guys.
Right.
So then everyone, myself included, said, wow, this is a crazy story. Darrell Revis, sounds like he got jumped in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Give it 24 hours, and all of a sudden the cops are saying, actually, it was the opposite.
And he's arrested, and 2:35 in the morning, just happened to be walking down the street. Like,
there,
well, you
wasn't
knew
there a
was
golfer
more
recently that said he got jumped?
That's right.
And his face was just destroyed, and apparently he was all gooned up being an idiot.
Yeah, that was in Hawaii, wasn't it? Was it Allenby?
Yeah. But he made a story. He made a story up, and they wasn't the video of him actually. There was like closed caption video of him. He's the guy who fell and was loaded up and got tuned up or something.
Yeah, like he, because I think he said
he got
robbed, like someone stole his cell phone, and then it turns out, like the next day, someone came, like found him and tracked him down and said, "I found your cell phone."
Yeah, you were hammered.
Yeah, you were like laying on the ground, and someone had kicked it into the park or something. And
yeah, it turns out the guy was just loaded out of his tree.
Well, it's a good lesson, man. You got to be careful with until you have all the facts. It's
exactly.
Fake news.
It is fake news.
That is fake news. Anyway, Ray in about 20 minutes. Steve Phillips coming up. We'll get to the Grit Grinder next. Tony tweeting in saying, New Orleans is a grittier Vegas. We checked into our hotel and the concierge gave us a map and outlined an area. She said, don't cross this line. You take that to the bank.
Sounds about right. It is. I wasn't that big of a fan.
Of New Orleans? I've heard it's great, man.
I've heard
mixed reviews myself.
Yeah, I
look at you two now. Yelp responders.
No, it's
so
just
what,
I've been
stars?
To a... No, I would give it a 3.5 out of 5. But I've been to some cities where it's a 5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with a couple guys, pro hockey players, and we had a good time. We spent some money and had a time. But
hey, it's one of those places you go check it out once, and you make your decision after that.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm not.
Let's go together, pal, this summer.
This is like a Frommer's breakdown of New Orleans. I'll go with you. I'm dying to go to New Orleans. Let's
we'll have a little buddy
trip.
Let's do it, man.
Terrified
of us in New Orleans.
Because you know he would disappear somewhere, and you would just
where the hell? What? Where would I disappear to?
You would step outside to have a dart, and
then I come right back inside.
No, you'd end up at the hotel 6 hours later because you took the wrong door back, and then ended up meeting some guys and chatting up and having beers.
That's the thing. If you do a two-man trip, you really have to rely on your guy being reliant.
Right.
Like, if he disappears and you're sitting there solo.
Have I ever gassed you on a work trip or?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm speaking in generalities.
Yeah, but the work trip is work.
Yeah.
If you guys get into some fun and have some drinks and stuff, I just feel like there would be.
Well, when is Mardi Gras? Like, that's when you got to go.
Is it
I think that's
May?
In the fall, though. Or is it in the spring?
No, I thought it was. I know. The second biggest Mardi Gras is in St. Louis, and that's in Soulard. And that is...
No one goes to St. Louis.
Oh, that's a good time there.
Yeah, but St. Louis is nowhere close to, like, on a list of places you have to go.
It's a good city. It's a well-hidden city, I'll tell you that.
February 28th is Mardi Gras?
Yeah, I thought it was...
Wow, it's coming up close.
My birthday is the 23rd.
We might have to look into it,
overdrive.
Buddy.
That is the one thing I did hear, though. Mardi Gras is not when you want to do that.
Why is that?
Because it's a
circus.
Do you
like dealing with that? I can't do that. I'm too old.
It's a circus.
All right. You guys want to hit the Grit Grinder?
Yes.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grime when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
Noodles, who you got, buddy?
Can I do a two-pack?
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby and George the Animal Steele.
You took the animal.
Yeah.
The back hair.
Didn't he have like a green tongue, too? Is that the guy?
He was a different cat, but he was one of the original legends, like, of the 80s, right?
Yeah.
George the Animal Steele.
Give him some love.
Passed away at 79, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Brandon Manning.
Yeah?
He has just been the focus of a lot of the Edmonton Oilers, and he didn't back down from anybody.
I agree.
He's a tough kid.
100%. Yeah,
he is. And
that Maroon looked pretty tough, too.
He was tough.
Chucking some bombs.
He's a big boy. They fought before when Maroon was in Anaheim. I think that was their second
Manning
career
chose
fight.
Wisely there, too.
Instead of Lucic?
And Cassian.
I am going to also throw in the Buffalo Sabres. They are grit grinding.
They're right in it.
Leonard was really good last night.
They're three back of the Leafs, and I think the Leafs have two games in hand, but they're right. They're in the mix now.
Your buddy, Evander Kane's playing real well.
Been on fire. I'm going to go with my daughter because I almost teared up when I dropped her off at daycare.
Yeah.
I got there a little bit later than usual, so the kids were waiting to eat. So all the kids were already sitting down and they were eating, and it was mac and cheese day.
Oh, yeah?
And it's a bowl of mac and cheese, and then they put, like, peas on top, right? Just
he
for, like, nutritional
those peas
purposes.
And threw them across the room.
They put her down. She picked it up one by one and flicked the peas and then just took a mittful of mac and cheese. And I'm like, that is my offspring.
There you go.
That's my girl right there. A grit grinder loving so some mac and cheese.
You're the real MVP.
Yes, she is.
Toss the peas.
I've never been prouder. First steps, first words.
Gas in the peas and just get in there.
Just right in there. Ray's coming up in 10 minutes. Steve Phillips live from spring training in Dunedin. Joel Quinville, the stash, is on the show at 6. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.